بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salam and salam be upon the noble prophet and the believers of his family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation on the concise admonition, and this is class number 20. And the author, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, is mentioning what is related to the remembrances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the merits of the remembrances, and classifying the remembrances into the general type and into also the restricted types of remembrances, and that at certain times some of these remembrances would excel others. And he continued to say, rahimahullah, in this respect, he said, like the saying that there will be conditions in which the saying of subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, and wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah may excel the greatest of remembrances, which is la ilaha illallah. And from this is subhanallah, saying subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah. Subhanallah means declaring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above any imperfection, free of all imperfection and defects. Walhamdulillah means all praise is due to Allah. Wa la ilaha illallah, there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. And wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means there is no change for the slave from a state to another state, and no ability for him in this change except by Allah. This is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith reported by Muslim and narrated by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن أقول سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر أحب إلي مما طلعت عليه الشمس. To say سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر, Allah is greater, is dearer to me than anything over which the sun rises. Is dearer to me than anything over which the sun rises. The saying of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, this is a great utterance, a great word, and there are many merits for it, proven by many authentic narrations, as in, for example, the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim from Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, that he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يا أبا موسى أو يا عبد الله بن قيس, أو أبو موسى or أو عبد الله بن قيس, ألا أدلك على كنز من كنوز الجنة, shall I tell you about a treasure from the treasures of paradise? I said yes. قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The saying of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية explained the merit of this statement, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. He said it carries the burdens, and with it one confronts the horrors, and with it one attains the high level. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, that this word, this statement of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله has amazing influence in dealing with hardships and forbearance. And also he said that it has influence as regard warding of poverty. And from the great general remembrances, other than Subhanallah wa bihamdih, is the utterance of Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdih Subhanallah al-Azim. Declaring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free of all imperfection and defects, and praising Him and magnifying Him by saying Subhanallah al-Azim, the most great. Also, many narrations came indicating the excellence of this utterance. From that is the hadith reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim from Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من قال سبحان الله وبحمده في يوم مئة مرة حطت خطاياه وإن كانت مثل زبد البحر. The one who says سبحان الله وبحمده 100 times in the day, his sins will be obliterated even if they are equal to the extent of the foam of the ocean. And also in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Huraira as well, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَلِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ, two words, light on the tongue, ثقيلتان في الميزان, heavy on the scale, حبيبتان إلى الرحمن, beloved to الرحمن, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beneficent. And they are سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. And from the great remembrances as well is الاستغفار, saying أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه, أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه, I seek forgiveness from Allah and I repent unto Him. And from that is الصلاة على النبي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله said that people regarding remembrance are on four levels. People regarding remembrance are on four levels. One level is the remembrance by the heart and on the tongue, and this is what we are commanded with. The second is the remembrance by the heart alone. So, if this occurs with a person who is incapable of utterance, then it is good. And if otherwise, then this will be relinquishing that which is excellent. The third level is remembrance by the tongue alone, making one's tongue constantly in a state of remembrance of Allah. The fourth level is absence of both, neither by the heart nor by the tongue, and this is the status of the losers. This is the status of the losers. These are the four levels concerning the people in reverence to the remembrances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he, rahimahullah, said, let it be known also, أَنَّ كُلَّ مَا تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ اللِّسَانِ, that everything uttered by the tongue and established by the heart, like from intentions, creed, fear, hope, love, and the rest of the actions of the heart. Anything uttered by the tongue and established by the heart, and which draws the person nearer to Allah, like for example, تعلم علم, learning knowledge, وتعليم, and teaching it, and like وأمر بمعروف, enjoining what is right, ونهي عن منكر, and forbidding evil, all is from the remembrance of Allah. All is from the remembrance of Allah. Meaning, this falls under the general understanding of remembrance. Because the person in this state, while carrying these actions, is in fact remembering Allah, establishing in his heart the love of Allah, his awe and his hope, or having his awe and having hope, seeking to draw closer to Allah. Then he said, وَلِهَذَا مَنْ اشْتَغَلَ بِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ بَعْدَ أَدَاءِ الْفَرَائِضِ أَوْ جَلَسَ مَجْلِسًا يَتَفَقَّهُ أَوْ يُفَقِّهُ فِيهِ الْفِقْهِ الذي سماه الله ورسوله فقها فهذا أيضا من أفضل ذكر الله. He said, therefore, anyone who busies himself, makes himself busy seeking knowledge, the beneficial knowledge, after concluding the obligatory actions, or sits in a circle of knowledge seeking to understand the deen or to make people understand it, this fiqh, this understanding of the deen, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger called as fiqh, then this is from the best of remembrance. And then he added, and accordingly, إِذَا تَدَبَّرْتَ لَمْ تَجِدْ بَيْنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ فِي كَلِمَاتِهِمْ فِي أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ كَبِيرَ اخْتِلَافِ. And therefore, if you contemplate, then you wouldn't find in the sayings of the early ones from the Salaf, you wouldn't find a disagreement, clear disagreements between them concerning what constitutes the best of actions after the obligatory actions. Why did he say after the obligatory actions? Because busying oneself in seeking knowledge, this is considered in origin an optional act, and optional acts are not accepted unless the fard, the obligatory ones, are carried out. Then he added, rahimahullah, and anything that is doubtful, or if a person is uncertain about any matter, then فعليه بالاستخارة المشروعة, then he should seek استخارة, the legal استخارة. فما ندم من استخار الله تعالى, and therefore the one who seeks استخارة would not regret at all. And this is a beneficial advice from him, rahimahullah, which is beneficial to man in all of his affairs. If things become unclear, then he should seek istikhara. Things become unclear, so he becomes hesitant. And the way of good is not clear to him. Therefore, he should, as Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالْإِسْتِخَارَ الْمَشْرُوعَ. He should then resort to the legal istikhara. In it, there is the good and the blessing and safety from regret. It opens the doors and removes away perplexity, hesitation, and confusion. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught his companions the istikhara, the dua of istikhara. And in the hadith of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to teach us the istikhara in all of our affairs, like he used to teach us the surah from the Quran. And he said in this hadith, which is related by al-Bukhari, concerning al-istikhara, in the hadith of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if anyone of you imparts about or on carrying a certain matter, then let him offer 2 rak'ah min ghayr al-fariida, other than the obligatory ones, and then he should say, thumma yaqul, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik, O Allah, I ask your guidance due to your knowledge, وَأَسْتَخْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ, and I appeal to you to help me, to give me power due to your ability. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ, and I ask you from your great favor. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ, for you are able and I am not. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ, you know and I don't know. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ, and you know all hidden matters. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاقدره لي. Oh Allah, if you know that this matter, and you name it, is good for me in my deen, Islam, my livelihood, the aftermath of my matter, also said for my life in the hereafter, it's short term or it's long term, then decree it for me and make it easy for me and bestow blessings for me in it. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ شَرٌ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةَ أَمْرِي أَوْ قَالَ فِي عَاجِلِ أَمْرِي وَآجِلِهِ فَاصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَاصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ وَأَخْدِرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثَ كَانْ ثُمَّ رَدِّنِي لِهِ وَيُسَمِّي حَاجَتَهُ. And if you know that this matter is bad for me in my deen, my livelihood, the aftermath of my matter, it's short term and it's long term, then keep it away from me and tear me away from it, and decree for me the good wherever it is, and then content me with it. Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, related that Ibn Abi Jamrah mentioned that the hikmah, the wisdom behind introducing the salah before the dua in this salah, which is Salatul Istikhara, to achieve the two goods, the good of this life and the hereafter. So he needs to knock the door of the king. And there is nothing better than the salah. He said that the wisdom behind introducing the salah before the dua is that what is intended in the salah is achieving the two goods, the good of this life and the good of the hereafter. And therefore he needs to knock the door of the king. And there is nothing better than the salah for that, because of the magnification of Allah therein and of his praise. And Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah further added, وَلْيُكْثِرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَمِنَ الدُّعَاءِ فَإِنَّهُ مُفْتَاحٌ أَوْ مُفْتَاحُ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. And let him make a lot of that, of istikhara and also of dua, because this is the key for every good. Then inshallah ta'ala, in the next class, he rahimahullah addresses the dua and its merits. And this will be inshallah ta'ala explained in the next class. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.